I Need Scissors 61, a remix of Metal Gear Solid 2 by Prince of Darkness. Folks, you know what that song means.
I'm really tempted to say something stupid.
Okay, say something stupid.
It's Seeking Infinity, episode 5. Oh, wait, no, sorry. It's insert credits round 5, not 6.
Yeah, that was pretty stupid.
That's okay. Well, you said 6, and I was just like, oh, I'm just going to get the wrong show name now.
I did say 6.
That's
on,
okay.
On the Twitters, that's right.
So, yes, it is insert credits round 5. Wait, you can do that?
Yes, we can, and in fact, we are.
Yes, at least for the next hour.
Well, welcome, everybody. I'm Mr. Bond.
And I'm Tormide.
Welcome you to this wonderful 18th of April, 2014, for round 5 of insert credits.
That show.
Yes. So, housekeeping. Next week. Is next week any issue for us doing the next show? I don't think so.
Let's look.
Because I know it's been a few weeks between shows for the past couple ones.
No, it should be okay.
Good. Okay, so next week will be round 6.
And it looks like the week after that is round 7.
Yay! All right, we might actually be on a regular schedule now.
Yeah.
Until the weekend after.
Correct. Until 5-9.
Excellent.
So.
Excellent, excellent. Well, we've got some good stuff for you tonight, so let's get right down to it. Around the world. A lot has happened in the past 3 weeks, actually.
Indeed.
Game Jam has failed.
Yeah.
Game Jam, a quote-unquote documentary about indie game jams, failed spectacularly in its first day.
Oops.
Due to horrible mismanagement, misogyny, bad consultancy,
misogyny.
You name it. Yeah.
Okay, really?
Yeah.
I want some details.
You want some details?
Yeah, I do.
All right. All right, crazy rules and contracts. One, first point. There were some terms in those contracts about being able to misrepresent the participants. The people who were putting on this documentary had the right to misrepresent the participants. Yeah, that's
what?
Pretty fucked up, isn't
okay.
it?
Okay.
Requirements to drink Mountain Dew and nothing else.
Oh, Code Monkeys,
yeah,
okay.
It's pretty fucking
oh, that's
unusual.
That's Tab and Mountain Dew, but okay. Anyway.
Yeah, that's true. There were significant efforts to undermine the teams to create more drama, such as the aforementioned misogyny.
Oh, no.
Exactly. Yeah, this sounds like a fucking great recipe. Thankfully, it failed.
With high fructose corn syrup.
Oh, God. One could only hope. That would have made it better, maybe, actually.
Well, I'm saying they mixed it in because of all the Mountain Dew. HFCS.
Yep. Mm-mm. So, long story short, it failed. The devs walked out. Good on them for doing so because it was a pile of crap. Pile of crap. So...
Whoa.
Good job, guys. Way to uphold your principles. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Thank you from all of us. Good lord. GameSpy is shutting down. You remember GameSpy? That multiplayer server of your back in, like, 2000? It was a big name?
Okay. Maybe? So this actually kind of ties into some stuff that I may have brought up a couple weeks ago. Maybe 3 weeks ago, even. Where Nintendo was discontinuing support for multiplayer. Yes.
Yep, that's the probable cause of that.
Excellent. Okay, well, at least I don't have to bitch about Nintendo now.
Yeah, so they'll be going belly up at the end of May.
Okay.
So bye-bye all the games and servers that were supported by GameSpy. Wah-wah.
Yeah,
that
which includes a lot of Wii and DS games,
yeah.
Including Mario Kart Wii and Mario Kart DS. Well, the online one.
Well, pretty much all the online...
Well, the non-local multiplayer.
Yeah, the Wi-Fi
yeah.
multiplayer Wii and DS games.
Yep. Which
is
sad.
That kind of sucks, because those were some games I actually enjoyed playing online against other folks. Imagine that.
Yeah, well, when people weren't busy cheating.
Yeah, that's true. Then it
but
was
hey.
Close game, go rage. PAX East 2014 has come and gone. I haven't heard of any major controversies that came out of this one.
None.
Amazing.
Which is great.
That is
it
good.
It is great. As a matter of fact, tell them about the new PAX.
The new PAX? PAX South?
Yes.
Possibly in Texas.
I heard that it will be in Texas.
That's the only detail I know about it.
I think there was some more stuff that was posted.
Was there a timing? Today. Was that before
yeah,
Australia?
Yeah, it's in January.
Yeah, interesting.
Let me see if there's anything new.
January. Jeez, that puts it up to 4 now.
Hey, that one's a lot closer, all things considered. San Antonio. Here we are, January 23rd.
A lot closer than what? PAX Australia? Yeah, that's true.
Her. All right. Yes. So it's going to be in San Antonio, Texas from January 23rd through the 25th. The fourth fan exposition to be put on the Penny Arcade since PAX started in 2004 at Seattle. PAX Prime, obviously. I'm not sure if PAX South is going to be the official name. Because south.paxsite.com doesn't go anywhere yet.
But maybe they've got a code name for it or something.
Maybe. Now I have to go...
PAX Quad.
PAX Quad? That'd be sweet.
PAX Quattro. PAX Quattro. That would be even better.
PAX El Quattro. Yes. Just out of... I had to look on prime.paxsite.com just to make sure I didn't miss any of the badge crap. We're good yet. Okay. It still says...
Good.
Sorry, registration for PAX Prime 2013 is closed. Sold out.
I think.
Yeah, so we're good.
Yep, all right, so PAX East 2014, I really wish we could have gone. That would have been cool. But that is a lot of cons. If we could go to PAX Prime and then PAX South and then PAX East and then PAX Australia.
And Dev.
And Dev.
Dev. That's five.
That's five cons.
Well,
right,
I mean,
there.
It's kind of like four and a half, but...
Yeah, that's true. And then GDC right before PAX East, I think, yeah?
Yes.
Oh, man.
So that's at the very beginning of February, maybe?
I thought it was in March.
Was it March? Year. Okay. Yeah, whatever.
But yeah, that would be a lot of travel, and some people do that, so good on them.
Wow. Yeah, I've been to a lot of cons this year so far myself, because I was just at Kitsune Con, and I'm going to be going to ASEN and whatever else this summer, and hopefully PAX Devon Prime. Hopefully. They haven't announced anything yet.
Most likely PAX Dev at the very least, because that doesn't really sell out in 2 hours, does it?
It didn't sell out last year, period.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, like, we can still go to that, but I mean, like, if it's just that, it's going to be kind of bittersweet.
A little bit, but, you know, at least it would be that.
I already requested off for all the other days, so.
Well, not free vacation. But
well, I mean.
Vacation.
Yeah, exactly.
Extended vacation. Well, anyways, that's it for Around the World for me. I'm sure there are a lot of. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. That's not it. I have one more that I forgot to write down. Tiny Build Games has canceled their successful $100,000 Kickstarter campaign.
Huh. Okay.
After it was successfully funded.
What?
The reason being, they wouldn't be able to make their stated deadline of 2014 for Jet Getters, their new game.
Sorry.
Phone. Yeah. So they just canceled the Kickstarter, period. And refunded the money, which is kind of neat.
Game related?
Oh, God.
Why did I get that email? Why did I get this? Well, there's an Around the World I can talk about.
That's horrible.
It is terrible, but, you know, barf.
Yeah. Whatever. So they canceled their successful Kickstarter funding for reasons of not being able to meet their stated deadline of this year, which is kind of weird, but as I was thinking about it, I was like, if every Kickstarter that wouldn't meet their established deadline canceled themselves,
there wouldn't be
any Kickstarters.
Yeah.
There would be nothing. But good on them for taking a position of integrity. I like that. So, thanks, guys.
Yep.
Even though it's kind of a bummer that, you know, that happened. Oh, well. Okay, now for serious, I'm done.
Okay, so my topics. Game Music Bundle 7 has been announced. You can pay $1 for The Banner Saga, Device 6, Broken Age, The Floor is Jelly, and Left Rousers OSTs. Or you could pay $10 and above for all of that other stuff, plus Transfiguration, which is a Journey piano album, Starbound's Orchestral OST. I don't know if there's a non-orchestral one. Y-A-W-H-G. Yaug?
Yaug?
I don't know. Is that a game?
Yes, I think so.
Yaug. Okay, cool. Magnetic by Nature, Scapegoat 2,
Curious Merchandise. There you go. Add that U.
Yeah, curious. Well, I didn't underline it for some reason. Curious Merchandise.
Curios is a word.
Is it? Oh, yeah, Curio Cabinet. Curio. Okay, wow. Curious Merchandise. It is Ben Prunty's non-game kind of random album.
It's an awesome album.
Good. I haven't purchased it yet, but I will. Don't worry. Winnows, Eldritch, Bardbarian, which looks amazing, which makes me kind of want to go find that game because Bardbarian sounds amazing. Tribes Ascend, Into the Box, and Soul Fjord. Fjord OSTs. Obviously, great music, great price, supporting a bunch of artists. I'm excited. I'm totally going to go get more than one Austin Wintry soundtrack in my $10 and above. So go buy that. Let's see here. Super Mario Brothers 3 has been finally released for Virtual Console on 3DS and Wii U. I know several of my friends have been pining for that for months and months and months because it had a preview that was posted on the eShop last year, 12 months ago. And people were like, so about that.
So is this a remake? Is it
No, it's just Virtual Console.
Oh, okay.
But people have been waiting for a portable version of it, at least on the 3DS. It's the iconic title, re-released. Wow. I can type.
Re-released.
Well, yes. Depending on which console you bought it on first. Or you could get the GBA port.
You're still missing one more letter in that word.
Fine.
There you go. All right.
Even though it doesn't think it's a word. I was typing very quickly. I'm sorry. But yes. SMB3. 3DS. Wii U. Fight. Super
Not
Smash.
Yet. This fight.
Fine. Super Smash Brothers Nintendo Direct reveals tons of new information. The characters are the same in both versions. Stages are different. The Wii U version will have online multiplayer, which is not by GameSpy. Two modes, for fun or for glory. For glory only has Final Destination, no items, and it actually has the possibility of one-on-one matches.
Oh, man. Okay, that's weird, but all right.
Well, that's just for glory. You still have for fun or whatever. There is a penalty system in which players can report other players who are doing naughty, naughty things, such as cheating, players or starting matches not playing, targeting only one player, etc. However, those who have false reports will be penalized themselves. There will be many new items and support characters. Characters that were formerly treated as a base character with a transformation, including the Pokemon Trainer, as I just found out, will actually split out into separate characters, such as Samus and Zero Suit Samus, Sheik and Princess Zelda, so on and so forth. There's a lot to say. Go watch the Nintendo Direct. It kind of came out of nowhere. So, go do it. That's it.
Release date sometime in July, maybe?
Yeah, I want to see if we actually got a concrete one there. So, Super... Does it even have, like, a name? Super Smash Brothers blah?
I don't think so. I don't think there's a subtitle on this one yet.
Okay.
Also, Mario Kart 8 late.
Yes. Yes, I am excited for that. If we can get an actual release date. Wow, that'd be cool.
No.
More information coming out in E3 in June.
E3 in June. Okay, so maybe not released in July, but there's an announcement of an announcement coming in June.
Again. All right, so that's that.
Excellent. Toonskies.
Yes.
You first. If you remember what you put.
No, that's fine. Unfortunately, the music that I have this week does not have any downloads. But we're going to do Force Equals MA by Blin from Final Fantasy VIII, and then Samba Cross Time by Super Mi-I-O, I think, from Chrono Trigger. We'll be right back.
Okay, on to some gaming moments. It's been 3 weeks. One would think we played a lot of games in the past 3 weeks.
One would be wrong.
One would be very, very wrong. Because I played just one game.
Oh, which one did you binge on?
Loof Trousers.
No, you played more than that.
Well, I played...
You're playing Mass Effect.
Well, yeah, I guess. I usually don't mention that more than once, just because,
well,
you know,
fine,
it's
okay.
One of those long-running things that I usually play. But whatever. Loof Trousers, over the past 3 weeks, I'm at, like, number 120 in the world, I think.
Damn.
Maybe.
So
my goal is to get under 100. Score-wise.
My goal is to get under 200 pound-wise. There we go.
Well, you'll probably reach your goal before I reach mine.
Possibly. Anyway, so you, tell me about this game, because the soundtrack is part of the Game Music Bundle 7.
Yes, it's pretty amazing. It is a dog fighting game.
Like, with airplanes,
yes.
Not actual dogfights.
Correct. Funny. Who was I talking to when I think it must have been at work. I was talking to people about this game, too. I said dogfighting. They're like, you know, with planes, not with dogs. And I'm like, yes. And Michael Vick came into play on that one, too.
It
so it's
coming.
Just like, oh, jeez. Come on, folks. But anyways, yes. It's a dogfighting game set in alt history, World War II to Cold War type things.
Cool.
It's about super weapons, really.
Oh.
You fly this plane called the Luftrauser,
which is
essentially a super weapon plane.
Okay.
And you go around blowing up boats and subs and blimps and other planes.
Blimps.
And aliens on occasion. It's kind of funny.
Okay.
It's got a really neat art style. It's one of those four-color games.
Really?
Yeah. It's got 16 different palettes you can choose from once you unlock them, of course.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of got that vintage-y feel to it.
I like that.
It is very neat.
It's pretty
very
sweet.
Neat. Very fast-paced, almost roguelike, I guess.
So
because you start over every time you die, but, you know, whatever.
Two-bit
There's not
color?
Really a lot of... one, two, three, four. Yeah, I guess.
It's four,
that's,
yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's correct.
Huh.
Yeah, you start over every time you die, blah, 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 blah. Arcadey style game. I like it a lot.
That sounds like it'd be fun to just kind of sit down and just do.
Yeah, if you got a quick minute or 30 or 2 hours later, shit, I should go to bed.
And then you start screaming at the computer.
Yes, exactly. I've done that many a time.
It's all right.
Many a time. There's actually
laugh.
A bit of a story about this game as well.
Okay.
Apparently, there was a minor controversy about the iconography it used. And I'll admit, yeah, I can see where it's coming from. But a lot of people, well, not a lot of people, some people apparently were offended by the use of Nazi iconography. Yeah.
World War II.
Exactly.
And yet you have your every other game that's ever used them.
Yeah. But in this game, you kind of take the role of the Nazi-ish side, air quotes.
Oh, no.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, oh, well, so what? But anyways... Vlam Beer, who developed this game, had a really nice response to all that. And it's like, well, that wasn't really what we were going for. We were going for more of the mystique of super weapons during the time from World War II to Cold War, where they had this ability to spy on our enemies, but not really know what they were doing, so to speak. So there was a lot of mystique and kind of fear behind what they could have out there.
Sure.
So that's how the game kind of developed. And, you know, taking some of the cues from World War II and beyond, Nazi iconography was kind of a big thing.
I'm going to throw in some world news right now.
Sure, why not?
Because it's vaguely related. So, did you hear about the Ukraine and the fact that they're forcing Jews to register?
What?
I'm not kidding.
I did not hear about that part.
Yes.
Oh my... History is repeating itself.
Thanks, Russia.
Yeah, that's shitty.
Yeah. I wanted to throw that in there because it was around the world-ish.
That is relevant.
So, anyway.
But yeah, there is a minor controversy. I haven't heard anything else about it since, so it has passed. The cloud has passed over the internet. But yeah, that's about all I've been playing. I did finish Mass Effect 3 for the third time a couple days ago as well.
Good. Did you actually switch it up this time? You like your decisions and all that?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I did all three times. I was just like, oh, let's try a little different.
Sure.
But yeah, so I finished it, and then I centered my latest post about that as well.
See, I gotta get into Mass Effect personally because I really enjoy the choose your own adventure stuff, and it really kind of is. I mean, granted, the story is on rails, however, your nuances within the story, not so much. So, I like the fact that you can decide some outcomes based on the things you say.
Yeah, you can be a badass, or you can be, you know, totally cruel, or you can be any anywhere in between, which in that range, that's not a big range, is it?
Well,
you can be the ultimate hero or you can be totally cruel. There we go.
That's yeah, there you are. I mean, like, I understand the nuance, but anyway, that's been something that folks have said that I would really enjoy, so I'll have to try it at some point. But on to the things that I've actually played. I had Brian over. It was not yesterday, but the day before. Yeah. We ended up picking up and continuing Tales of Symphonia Chronicles. Well, he played. I was putzing. Why did I make that different than any of the other ones? Oh, I must have really rushed through this. More 3DS passing people. I don't even know if I can call that a game anymore. It's more like the, oh, I passed another person. Let's go clear out my Mii Plaza. They've added a couple new puzzles this week, by the way. So if you get your little blue light blinking on your 3DS, it's because they added at least two new puzzles to play now. I think we're up to like 1,070 something or other puzzle pieces now. And I just barely crossed 1,000. Like,
still more game than Farmville.
Yeah.
Oh!
I mean, I still... when I was in Phoenix, I was playing the Spider-Man pinball game, and it's kind of funny because, like, I would swipe my card because it was a two-hour game card, and I played, and I'd get a free game, and then that game would give me a free game, and then I'd earn extra balls, and then get another free game, and it's like, okay, like, I'm unintentionally good at this pinball game. It was just this one that I was really good at, and it's like, oh, okay. Like, I actually got number 3 and number 4 on the table, so that was kind of cool.
Wow, pinball has really gotten easier.
Yeah, exactly. No, I ended up getting something like 120 billion points or something like that, because it was in the millions normally,
billion,
I guess.
Billion with a B?
I think so.
Wow.
Either that or maybe it was millions, but I thought I was in the millions really... Well, no, it was millions, I'm sorry. Because the replay, the first replay was at 72 million. The second was at like 140 something. It wasn't scaled directly. Mm. But I mean, it also got more difficult as you finished the game that gave, or you finished the free game, and then the free game would set the first threshold higher because you're playing on a free game.
Right.
And I would still get it. I was just like, okay. So I did that for the entirety of that game card. I ended up playing a little bit of air hockey and things like that too, I guess. But that was just one game. Yeah, that was actually really fun. I haven't played pinball in a while. Oh, I suppose there's another piece of news that I totally forgot about. The Midwest Gaming Classic.
Mm.
That was last weekend. I couldn't go to it, but a whole bunch of people went that I know, and they said it was fantastic. I know Kit says he wants to go on the first day onward because apparently a lot of really rare games get sold on the first day. He was able to pick up Mega Man X in Japanese and things like that.
Wow.
So nice. He got some really good deals, all under $20. He bought a bunch of stuff. So, yeah, that's another convention that is like PAX in Wisconsin, except for the 80s. And then they sometimes throw in some later stuff. Like, there's a Pokemon room, and there was another one that was there as well. And the Nintendo was actually there. They were giving things out. Saxon ended up getting me a Mario sweatband for my wrist, just because it was free. So I was like, sweet, I'll add that to my little Nintendo collection that I've got going. So... anyway, yeah, that's that.
Oh, speaking of Midwest Cons, Midwest Game Developer Summit.
Yes, that is in July. I actually have some more information on that because they just sent me my stuff on my Kickstarter. Did you back that?
No, I won't be able to go to this one.
Well, right. I just wasn't sure if you backed it anyway. Yeah, I am apparently a VIP. So I get access to the VIP lounge and a VIP lanyard and a VIP shirt and VIP pass and VIP everything. So that is July 12th and the 13th in Oconomowoc, which I've been passing every day almost for the last week. It's right off 94.
Yeah, right off 94.
So, yeah, that is exciting. I registered as the producer for Zero Hour Productions, as the lone Zero Hour Productions guy going. Mm-hmm. So I'll bring my business cards. Don't worry, I'll represent... So, Saxon said he might want to go, but he's going to be by himself because he's not with us yet. Oh, musicians. But yeah, that actually looks really cool. They just sent out their Kickstarter reward thing today saying, hey, what t-shirt size do you want? Yeah. All that stuff. So it is definitely moving forward. They said that there's a ton of people going. As a matter of fact, I'm going to look up their Kickstarter real quick and actually get the final number. Midwest Game Developer Summit. Hey there, friend. So it's mgdsummit.com. They initially tried to get 8,000. They got 11,255, which is pretty good. As for the website, they have some news posted. Yep. That's at the Olympia Resort. And 40 speakers, over 300 attendees, which for a Wisconsin thing.
That's a pretty damn good turnout.
Yeah. They do have a newsletter and not a whole lot else posted. I heard that registration to the public will open in the next 2 to 3 weeks. But I don't know if that's accurate. But it was just kind of like thrown around in the little forum chat that they've got for the Kickstarter backers. So, yeah, I'm actually pretty excited for this. This isn't the first time they've had this, is it?
I don't think so. I think it's okay. The second or third.
Okay. Well, they've got a lot of conventions that are coming over into the area. What was the one that was... Not for Squared. No, actually, yes. It was the thing I was just talking about. What the hell is it called again? That everybody went to this last weekend?
Midwest something game classic?
Yeah, that. Yeah. That is in the same hotel as another convention that started for this first year for Squared. And the Conowoc really isn't that far away from... God damn it.
Why am I
forgetting? No. Where did Carver grow up?
Brookfield?
That. It's in Brookfield. Those were those two things. This is in the Conowoc, so it's a little sooner than Brookfield, but, I mean, they're all in the same general area. It's like, why don't we start getting some conventions in Madison? That'd be kind of cool. So...
Because there's not really... Well, I suppose the Alliant Energy Center would be good for it.
Well, any of the bigger hotels could, too.
Yeah.
Because, I mean...
I don't know.
We don't have a Hyatt Regency here, do we?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
So that seems to Madison's just kind of in the middle of nowhere.
I guess.
It's really spread out. I mean, it's not like Milwaukee where there's tons of suburbs around.
That's true. That's
true. It's not Chicago, which is just, you know...
Big.
North half of Illinois.
Yeah. Illinois. Anyway. Yeah, so... All that stuff is in Wisconsin now, and it's pretty exciting because we have two actual game conventions of, like, consumer side and developer side now. And, of course, we have the little mini anime cons and things like that, too, which obviously include some games and whatnot. But to have actual game conventions is pretty sweet. So, for those of you who are in Wisconsin or at least close enough where you can go, consider it because it would be cool to keep these things here.
True dat. Oh, I did forget about one other game I was playing. I did play a little bit of Spelunky with Space 006.
Oh, you did?
Last weekend.
That's cool.
Yes, we had quite a few good runs. We robbed the black market on several occasions. We did not make it to Olmec at all, however.
That's my one accomplishment with you. We at least got there before you jumped into the lava.
Yeah, before I took a swan dive into the lava.
That's okay. We always have more time to play that game after the radio show.
That's true. That's why we keep these shows short. Speaking of, time for tunes.
Ah!
First off, a remix from Conker's Bad Fur Day entitled Bowls and Beers by Gweefrog. And then a remix from Battletoads entitled I Have a Rash by Croth. Too much information there, buddy. Thanks.
Get lost,
Design time! And since we're both pretty much the same game tonight, it doesn't really matter who starts.
Okay, I'll start because Okay, initially, here's my reason for that. I didn't read his beforehand, and I was thinking because I ended up seeing something yesterday where they did kind of like a Modern Warfare thing that was Oculus-driven, and they had the little pivot table mm-hmm. thing that they were on.
Yeah.
I saw that, and it made me think of the earlier concept that I had back in Journey 1. Of Seeking Infinity, where it was entirely audio based, sort of a horror. And I kind of wanted to touch up on that again, now that this other tech exists. So, I wanted to do a survival horror game, which is basically the light version of what Mr. Bond will be talking about. But it relies entirely on the perception of audio. So essentially, there would not only be a virtual reality device, not necessarily Oculus, but it would also have 3D positional audio headphones that you'd be using.
Mm-hmm.
It is controlled entirely by virtual means. The player is harnessed into a device that can allow for 360-degree turning and walking. Visuals are done through the whatever Oculus Rift or VR device you have. The only indication that you have is a mini map, and it's going to be in very dark contrast. So it's going to be like dark gray on black. So you can barely see it, but at the very least you can start following your progress. It will only ever fill in once you've approached an area. So essentially the concept is you are caught in a labyrinth and there is something that is equally as blind as you. However, it can smell you and it's going to try to catch you and eat you, essentially, or kill you or whatever the case is. It doesn't want you to leave. Make your own story. So if the demons of the labyrinth manage to actually catch you, that's when you die. It's kind of like a whole Slenderman thing. You have to get away from him, basically.
Mm-hmm.
If you do manage to escape and exit to the light, you'll actually see light in front of you, so you know you're going in the right direction. You will win. So I think that would be an interesting thing, just to be very basic like that, because you can focus on the fear of getting lost, and that's kind of what I wanted to go for. But yours is a little more advanced.
Mine's a little more arcadey.
Okay.
So it doesn't involve VR at all. It's just a ye olde standard top-down. It does, however, do a lot with shadow and darkness. Like, the vast majority of the playfield that you can see is dark.
Okay.
And there's some light sources. Enemies and obstacles give off some sort of light. The goal is to avoid getting caught for as long as possible. So there's no definitive end. There's no winning, I guess. It's purely a high-score situation, and I like me some high-score games.
You do.
I do. There's also no attacking. No weapons, no items, really. It's all based on movement. You have a certain amount that you can move at any given time. As you move, your move meter depletes. And as you stand still, it recovers. You move faster, it goes down faster. You move slower, it goes down slower. If an enemy gets super, super close to you, you enter an adrenaline mode, where you essentially get double movement. However, that takes a long, long time to recharge, so use it sparingly.
Mm-hmm.
You can hide in the darkness. However, enemies will eventually find you, but you can sneak around them as they are essentially blind. Kind of like yours would be. Yeah. You can use the light to kind of see your way around, but you are also much more apt to be found by enemies while you are in the light. So you gotta play it cool. You gotta get a good balance between shadow and light. Otherwise, it'll be way too easy for them to find you, or you won't be able to know where you're going.
I like that.
So there's a minimal amount of audio as well. You can kind of, the positional audio kind of takes effect as well. Headphones, 5.1, 7.1, whatever the hell it happens to be.
Yep.
You can hear creaking of the floorboards or footsteps or doors opening and shutting. So you can kind of get a feel, even in near pitch black, of where shit is. And where you are in relation to everything else.
So could you, like, bump into things?
You could bump into
things. Okay, that's
It'd
cool.
It'd be like, or you knock a glass off a table or something.
Yeah, crash.
And, oh, shit, now you hear a whole bunch of footsteps making their way towards you.
Yep.
Yeah. Eh, depending on how complex you want to make it, I suppose. You could hide under stuff or in closets or in lockers or under boxes or, you know, pull a whole Solid Snake thing in there. Why not? Be kind of neat to explore.
Yeah.
The point system is kind of rudimentary. The longer you stay alive, the more points you get. If you stay still, your points go up faster. If you get closer to enemies, your points go up faster. So you kind of play the skill approach, or you can play the longevity approach, depending on how you want to do it. And if you're good at both, well, you'll have a really awesome high score and maybe get into the top 100 like your goal is. That's not relevant to what I was talking about before at all. That's it. I could definitely use some more development in certain areas, but I think it'd be interesting to hear headphones go out or something.
Yeah. All of a sudden.
I don't know, sometimes it's kind of touchy. Whatever. Whoa, hey.
Sorry.
I heard that one.
Sorry, my bad.
All right, but that's it. That's it. I think that'd be kind of neat. I'm always a big fan of top-down games, twin-stick, arcade-style stuff. So that'd be kind of neat to explore. And I'm not very good at visuals, so having a lot of darkness would be kind of cool. Would be kind of... useful for me to use darkness to cover up my poor artistic skills. Not working? Bummer. No matter. That's it. Any other final thoughts for tonight? Otherwise, we can get her wrapped up.
I want more free games from Spider-Man. Yeah.
Well, you could buy the Spider-Man table, get all the free games you want.
That's true. I could play it on free play. I mean, that would be pretty sweet, though. I mean, in the end, I do want to have a free play pinball table here sometime. That's our next investment. With our space that doesn't exist.
Yes. We'll hang it from the ceiling or something.
We'll put it... Oh, we can put it behind the couch. Just got to make sure the cat doesn't knock it over, even though she wouldn't be able to.
I don't think she would ever be able to do that.
Oh, there.
Full speed.
There's our next thing. Before our next round, we'll have a pinball table.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, okay. But that's it.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us on Insert Credits Round 5. I am Mr. Bond.
And I'm Tormod.
And we'll leave you with our signature closing track, a remix from Shadow of the Colossus entitled Trico Flies by Kevin Penkin. Good night, everybody.
Ciao. We'll be right back.
Thank you.